You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You can't handle the truth. Well, they can't handle it or they just ignore it, right? Welcome to Larry Connors, Larry Connors USA, the program. My name's Crane Durham, and I've had the blessing and privilege to be here sitting in the man's seat. And as I said, guest hosting, fear not, he'll be back. Quentin is taking care of us here at the studio and for you with the sound. And a lot of sound this morning, as well as tragedy and death. A suicide bomber. That's right. Jennifer Griffin, Fox News, detailed the attack.
We've just learned that at least three American troops were injured in this suicide bombing attack. A firefight broke out. We're told we don't know whether they were Marines or members of the 82nd Airborne. Both have been at that Abbey Gate. We can confirm it did occur. The suicide bombing did occur at the Abbey Gate. There are Afghan casualties, as you just heard. A firefight also broke out. This was a complex attack, I'm told, from senior U.S. officials.
Griffin detailed the suicide bomber attack, calling it complex, as you just heard, and then gave us a little more of an update on the state of our forces and those wishing to leave.
What we can report at this time is that there was a suicide bomber on foot, and then there was a firefight that broke out. It is clear that this was an attack that was we had the warnings. There were intelligence warnings. The military knew that they had they were working up against a clock. They knew that the enemy, the Taliban, ISIS, Al Qaeda, they get a vote in this, and they knew that every day and every hour that went on. That's why they were moving as swiftly as they were. That's why you were seeing 20,000 people a day being airlifted out of Kabul airport. They knew that they were on borrowed time. And this is the reason that the State Department put out that warning last night, telling Americans not to come to the gates. Again, the military and the State Department working very hard to get as many people through those gates. And now it appears as if that is shut down. And we've moved into another phase of this evacuation.
Thank you.
And it is absolutely awful in the way of another phase in this evacuation being attacked. The questions arise, do we send in more troops? Do we have to retake the base? That's the question. And it's troubling to us for so many reasons. But, okay, so they're out of the airport in Kabul. And they lost their main base, their airport in Kandahar. So why on earth, why did that happen? Why did they do that? Why did they do it this way? I mean, certainly one could anticipate if you do something like this in an evacuation, a surrender, that the forces are going to come and fill that vacuum that you create. And they're going to fill it with blood and death and Islamicist doctrine. And that means freedoms go bye-bye. And a very quick reading of that. And we've heard from people of Afghanistan and crying out, begging, asking why. We even have our own soldiers and former soldiers and members of Congress joining in, asking questions, what is happening here, and trying to assist those that helped us, as well as Americans who are there, obviously helping us, to get them back safe. But now you're going to do it under attack. This is outrageous. And yes, it did not have to go this way. Unfortunately, we have a president who literally has been wrong on every foreign policy decision. And yet, he was elected as commander-in-chief. Larry Connors, USA.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Ways.
Welcome back. Crane Durham sitting in for the great Larry Connors. And fear not, as I've said, just stepping in today. Larry will be back soon. And it's a blessing and privilege, as I always say. And it truly is. You know that. That's why you listen. Opened up with what we are all talking about today, and that is the terrorist attack, suicide bomber attack, Kabul airport, with, I believe, confirmed now, three dead Marines. And where do we go from here? We're jumping into something that is ongoing and has continued over the last 20 years. And that is our war with Islamists, radical Islam, Islamic terrorists, and their organizations. And handling this, protecting the American people should always be the commander-in-chief's first job. The American people include our troops, of course. Also protecting those that have sacrificed so much, putting their lives literally on the line. And yet, we have a commander-in-chief who has sown confusion.
There's just such an ongoing disconnect, Harris, between the happy talk that we're seeing out of the White House, from political appointees, from the president himself, from Kirby, that things are fine and dandy, they may be a little bumpy, but they're going as planned. And then what our own staffs and offices are seeing on the ground. We've had to go operational out of the United States Congress talking to airport managers, gate guards, helping American citizens avoid Taliban checkpoints. Just before coming here, one of my team told me that an SIV applicant with visa in hand had their phones taken from them and smashed to the ground by the Taliban and told to turn around. The reason we're having to go operational, the reason retired special forces officers and intelligence officials are taking matters into their own hands is because it's not going well, because of such a lack of leadership and clarity from this administration, that we're having to do whatever it takes to get Americans out and to save those that stood with us.
And so Michael Waltz, Representative of Florida on the House Armed Services Committee, actually is a Green Beret who served and understands this. Yet our Commander-in-Chief does not. And this was done to make an artificial timeline of September 11th. Why is it artificial? Actually, it's August 31st. That's the artificial timeline and date. But they wanted it all done by September 11th, which may become a day in which we were not only attacked and lost nearly 3,000 Americans, but also the date where we surrendered. Surrendered America's place, not only in the Middle East, but the world. There are a lot of questions about that. There are even more questions about the here and now and what's going to happen to our men and women over in Afghanistan. So, how big is this? Well, Representative Michael Waltz continued.
We are on the cusp, Harris, of having the biggest mass hostage situation in American history. Ooh. It's going to make 1979 in Tehran look like a sleepover because you're going to have thousands of Americans left behind that the Taliban will then have for leverage when they want international recognition, they want money, they want economic assistance, and they've got a gun to the head of American citizens because Joe Biden left them. The Pentagon has been clear to us they could stay and they could get them out. Now, you have to weigh that. There's an ongoing terrorist risk to the folks there. But Americans don't leave Americans behind, period.
Well said. And yet, we sit back and we say, we haven't heard much about Afghanistan over the 20 years. There have been incidents and times, and we've even surged. And we had 2,100 troops there. Maybe 6,000 total right now in order to get out. So if we were running kind of pest control, as Greg Gutfeld would say, on the terrorists and terrorist organizations in Afghanistan, why on earth pull out? Why on earth surrender the Air Force base? The main base. It makes no sense. You're literally stuck on stupid. And yet, we think of this as over there. I'm not saying that we don't care. I'm saying there's a complete disconnect in how we defend our country. You know who's connected? Our troops, families, those that serve in some capacity in our defense of this country. But the American people, we say Afghanistan, yeah, we want to leave, want to go. We have a president that blames his predecessor, which is this weak sauce. Especially since it's not true. President Trump was conditions based. Not so with one President Biden. When we talk about terrorist organizations, we think of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban's connection to them. and the Haqqani network within the Taliban in Afghanistan. And there are these statements made, oh, we got to look at them separate. No, don't. They're going to help each other. They have alliances. They will continue to have alliances. And now we are making them stronger. So what is the logic? How do we get connected enough where in an election we don't sit back and say, oh, great. Yeah, pull out of Afghanistan. Let's elect the guy who said, don't go after bin Laden. Don't take out bin Laden. Doesn't make sense, does it? And the way he brought us this, as he came into office, he has not only undone and created a vacuum within Afghanistan and sent the signal to our allies across the world, including Ukraine, Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, that we can't be trusted. The American soldier continues to do an extraordinary job serving the United States and those who seek to be free, protecting them, doing everything they can, as other congressmen and women are doing, and organizations in the United States standing up, trying to get them back over here or over here out of harm's way. I'm just curious. When we think of Afghanistan and Islamic terror, this is why I don't want it to be based on emotion. There's a lot of emotion when we think of 9/11. There will always be a lot of emotion. But making decisions to protect ourselves should not be based on emotion. I remember David Letterman was debating Bill O'Reilly, and he was talking about Iraq at the time and going through that. This is before the surge in Iraq. And he said, you know, we wanted to go over there and get those guys in Afghanistan, and we did. And Iraq was just a bridge too far. And why am I bringing this up? Because it was another front in the war on terror. And to look at our enemy dispassionately with clarity, not seeing things that are not there. Obviously, we are doing that because we're trusting the Taliban. Outrageous. And yet, we see war, never-ending war. Why are we even fighting it? Well, we have troops in other countries as well. And it allows us to improve our overall national security by stemming threats from developing. And we've done that. And so the American people looking at the war on terror or the war on radical Islam, it's not over. Lindsey Graham said it best just last night.
It's the most dishonorable thing a commander-in-chief has done. He should be impeached. This is dereliction of duty by the commander-in-chief. This makes it harder to fight future wars. Who's going to help us in the future after we abandon our friends in Afghanistan who fought bravely? And the likelihood of a 9/11 is through the roof now because Al-Qaeda and ISIS are coming after us. If you believe we left Afghanistan, we've ended the war between the U.S. and radical Islam, you're a fool.
Yeah, and it's just plain foolish when you base your response on emotion and not the actual threat. The threat didn't go away. We just positioned ourselves in a better place to fight it. And why do I say that Biden, we shouldn't be surprised? Look what they did with the Islamic State and pulling out of Iraq, which they could have not done, by the way. And I'm talking about the Obama administration. By merely giving diplomatic status to those soldiers that were there. It was doable. and he ripped it open, a vacuum created, and then we got ISIS porn, which is just cutting off heads, setting people on fire, and seemingly gaining in their quest for the Islamic caliphate. And yet, I sit back and I think to myself, that wasn't long ago. We were reminded of the threat. Burning people alive in cages. We saw that. And yet, people say, oh, never-ending war. I went out. I want to. You got to have a little better answer than that. And me too, in the sense of not focusing enough on these issues. All of us, to a degree. But I must tell you, they're at war with us. They're gaining strength, and we have to beat them ideologically by voicing what our vision is for the world and contrasting it to their vision of the world. It's not rocket science. This is pretty easy stuff. America versus other, our enemies' values. I think we win. 6 days a week, twice on Sunday. But we must come from a place of strength. We must be the reliable partner of those seeking freedom. And we're not doing that. We're sending exactly the wrong signal. In time, we will see more of this.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back to Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham, your guest host today, and honored to do so. Fear not, Larry will be back. We have been talking about the attack, suicide bomber attack on the Kabul airport this morning, and just what that does to the overall mission of evacuation and surrender in Afghanistan. And I was going to go over what we needed to do, because I don't want to say things and not have an answer. A lot of people do that, and it's childish. You got to have an answer. So we have 2,100 troops there. I think I said 6,000. Well, I was including NATO troops, 7,000, something like that. And 1,000 more in the way of U.S. troops. So we're at 3,000 to get people out. Will we have to increase that? Will we have to retake our base in Kandahar? It's a good question. What do we do now? Well, the first thing we do is we get honest about our place in the world. We're not the world's policemen. Why do we fight these things? I think Ronald Reagan said, why do we put our lives on the line going after threats or to promote freedom? Well, it's because if authoritarian governments take the world, whether it's Islamic supremacy government or a communist government or an autocracy, Putin, we have the most to lose. We have the most to lose because we have the most in the way of freedom. We have the most in the way of a system that looks at people not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character, where equality is not demanded at the end of the race, but at the beginning, thereby allowing people to use their gifts that they've been blessed with in order to provide a good or a service or whatever it may be to someone in need. And no, I'm not saying, as it oftentimes is mischaracterized, oh, Pax Americana, freedom, that's all I want to do. No, that's not it. Sorry, not true. I want to promote freedom, and I want to address the threats before they grow. Which brings us back to Afghanistan and the war on terror. Be honest about our enemy and understand that it doesn't go away. And sometimes it's like pest control. But there must be a consistent message and contrast between the systems, the visions of people who are engaging in the fight. We got a great story to tell. Unfortunately, we have leftists in this country who seemingly want to lie about it and misrepresent it constantly. And we also have problems. I mean, we're dealing with a pandemic and everybody's angry, obviously. Get angry at the Chinese government. That's who you want to be angry with, and hold them to account. When you say that, people don't want you to say that because, oh, you hate Chinese people. What? That's asinine. Why would you say that? No, it's not the Chinese people. It's the Chinese communist government. I can draw a distinction between the Iranian people and the Iranian government, and I can do the same with the Russians and Chinese and North Koreans for that matter. But I digress. I am coming back with Arnold Allart, former New York Post reporter, joins us talking COVID and masks.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm just jamming out, digging it. In high school, we were given a drug talk, and the speaker started singing parts of that song, and all of us finished it. Hey, I pass on grass. I'm not a fan of drugs. Absolutely not. But I will tell you that the state of mind back then hopefully is a little different than today. And no, I don't do that white powder. You don't want any of that. You're really productive, I understand, for like an hour, maybe three. But yeah, you end up dead. Plus it's illegal. Or on your way to dying. I've never understood what gets somebody into the condition, whether it's cocaine or meth. Like, oh, let's do meth. Where does that come into play? Like somebody says, that's a good idea for the very first time. And it's horrid what happens to people who take it. And we've seen it on their bodies. It's awful. It's evil. Evil. Bad. Yeah, I believe in the war on drugs. I do. Just throwing it out there. And we've been a lot more effective than you would think in the sense of consumption as well as, well, enforcing our laws. Again, a digression. I mean, do I have to take on everything right now? No, no, I do not. Because this segment, we are going to talk about mask mandates. And it's anything but boring. Our guest is Arnold Allert. He is a former writer and columnist for the New York Post. That means he writes really good. Writes good. Like it. And he is able to convey in a very short article, relatively, about three pages, so much. He's mandatory show prep for a lot of people. I'm just the one that admits it all the time. And no problem. Proud to admit it. Arnold Allert currently writes for the Patriot Post. Patriot Post online. You could check that out. And his latest article, or excuse me, his second to latest article, he talks about COVID totalitarianism continues to be a feature of the Democratic Party. Arnold, welcome to Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham sitting in. Your thoughts?
Well, Crane, you know, it's like I said in my article, you know, you would think that some people would recognize the fact that trying to make half of America the other and asking them for papers, please, might invoke some kind of historical comparisons. But apparently, for a lot of Americans, it doesn't.
And when you, in the article, talking about the vaxxed and unvaxxed and what's happening in New York City, but also with the mask issue, I mean, Oregon has now put in a mask mandate outdoors, which,
sure.
I mean, golly, I feel sorry for the people of Oregon, but why would you ever elect some people like this? My point is, you don't throw around the Nazi reference pretty much at a drop of a hat. In fact, I believe there's a Goodwin rule about not doing it. But my point is, we sit back and we look at this and we say, okay, we're seemingly blaming the Delta variant and the current state of things on the unvaxxed, and therefore we need to get vaxxed. Yet there's a lot more to the story there. Is it?
Well,
what do you think?
I mean, all you have to do is look at Israel, which has got the highest rate of vaccination in the world for people who are eligible to receive it, and yet they're having another round of record-breaking cases, and then I believe in some case also a high level of death. And you've got guys, including the guy who invented the mRNA vaccine, saying that, you know, maybe giving people spike proteins that could show up as serious health problems maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now isn't the best way to go. So the idea that it's only the vaccinated people, or unvaccinated people, who are causing the problem here is simply not true.
And that goes to truth and something that we have seen seemingly for good intentions, ostensibly, they bended the facts, or they told us something that simply was not true. And from masks being, oh, you don't need them, to you must have them, to now we find out they're not very effective in containing the virus, and outdoors they're practically useless. So if we know these things, and we want to find out what the cause is, why on earth would we have a government that is seemingly taking the issue and dividing the very people that they want to help?
Well, I wrote something late last year, and I explained to people that there are six companies. The six largest companies in the world are Amazon, Alphabet, which controls Google and YouTube, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Tesla. Each one of those companies has a market cap, each, bigger than the gross domestic products of every country in the world, save the top 17. And it's my contention that this whole long play that's going on right now is not just a call it hate America or dividing people or keeping people distraction. But the attempt to obliterate the concept of the nation state itself in pursuit of one world governance with, you know, guess who in charge. So, and I think that they have been able to control the flow of information. I think they have been able to, I mean, when YouTube can literally ban a United States senator who's also a doctor because they don't like what he's saying, or suppress stories about alternative treatments that may, in fact, mitigate the virus, maybe even as much as a vaccine might do, we're sailing in uncharted waters.
And these uncharted waters, you're talking about deplatforming and referencing, I believe, Dr. Paul, Rand Paul. And I'm thinking that you are looking at our freedoms coming under attack, hamstringing us to have what we all need to have, which is a honest discussion about whatever issue at hand. If it's the pandemics, let's have an honest discussion. If somebody wants to make me wear a mask indoors, it's their business, and in that way, I have no problem with it. I don't think a lot of Americans do in private businesses drawing that distinction. But then we say, well, you can't work here.
Well,
you can't
yes and no, okay? Because I think what the Biden administration is doing is offloading stuff that would be unconstitutional if the government did it onto private businesses so they can sort of end around any kind of things that Americans would object to.
And what private businesses could be on that front line, and there's going to be pushback if they don't want to do it. And when it comes to the vaccination and the vaccination passports, again, referencing the awful past of this kind of communication and working within a society, I think you're going to get more of a pushback than ever, because with the vaccination, people are not sitting there. It's not the prison of two ideas, vax good, unvax bad.
No.
But that's what they want to make it, it seems. And I sit the back as an unvaxxed, and I sit there and I say, you know, I'm just not comfortable yet with this. And yet I'm being blamed, seemingly blamed, for the spread of this awful disease. And I'm going to be charged more if I work for Delta and my insurance premiums go up. Your thoughts?
Well, to give you an idea of how ignorant these people are, I mean, the Super Bowl champs decided they were going to give armbands to people, their players. One was red if you were vaccinated, and one was yellow if you weren't vaccinated. And I thought to myself, you know, of all the to single out people, it just tells it. It gives you an idea of how utterly corrupt. To me, I keep coming back to that. I know I'm a broken record, but I think if we're going to fix things in this country, we got to go right to the source, and that's the public school system.
And you're right on that. And I want to talk to you more about that. In fact, and if you can stay through the break, that would be great.
Sure.
Because what I want to know is, I mean, you're connecting all the dots, but some people might sit back and go, Arnold, are you looking at black helicopters, one world government and all that? And I'm looking
at... Well, ask yourself a simple question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I posed it today in my column, all right?
Good.
We're talking about, you know, the Biden administration, and I think even a lot of leftists are saying that, you know, our pullout of... Look, the distinction here is not the pullout. Everybody wanted to get out of Afghanistan. What they're trying to obscure to the best of their ability is the how of getting out of Afghanistan. And yet, even now, as there are now reports of people who are Marines.
We are going to pick up on that, Arnold.
Okay.
And the thought on the flip side, Larry Connors, USA, Crane Durham, sitting in.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back to Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham, guest hosting. Thank you, Larry. It's an honor and privilege. Cafe Napoli, excellent. Excellent place. In fact, it holds a special place in my history because it was the first time I met my wife at, Cafe Napoli. She was wearing a red dress. I'll never forget it. But there was a long time between that moment and the time we got married. Another story for another day. But thank you, Jesus. So, we have Arnold Allard on the program. He is a writer, former writer for the New York Post, and current writer for the Patriot Post. And Arnold, we were discussing your article on COVID, which was chock full of facts. You document everything. You make show prep easy. Now, the question I had for you is you were drawing a discussion about what's happening to our freedoms here in the United States in regard to the COVID epidemic and pandemic.
Well, it's not just the United States.
The world, yes.
In Australia.
Yeah, Australia's off the charts.
They're now building a 1,000-bed facility for COVID patients, you know.
And so I believe there are good people on both sides of the vaxxed, unvaxxed issue. Of course there are. And
yeah, but who's demonizing who?
And that's where we were going. And you were using Afghanistan and the notion of what Gutfeld calls the prison of two ideas, no nuance, no discussion, and able to have it. And you were talking about this, and you were saying this could lead, where this all goes, this freedom, losing the freedom, goes to a place where we have a one-world government. And I said in response, hey, is that black helicopter talk?
Well, and, let's see just assume for argument's sake that what I'm saying is true. I mean, what would be a great way to go about making Americans feel that, the country wasn't worth preserving? So maybe ignominiously losing to a bunch of 77th century goat herds with the finest military in the world, maybe allowing more than a million people to cross what used to be our southern border, many of them with COVID, even as you're demanding Americans mask up or get COVID vaccines. Maybe you'd make people question the integrity of the elections. Maybe you'd make America energy dependent again. I mean, it's like I said in my piece, one debacle is an anomaly, a series of them is a pattern.
And that's your latest piece, if I'm not mistaken.
The notion that, I think Mark Miley, Mr. White Rage, was sort of the dead giveaway on all of this because he insisted that there was nothing that, quote, there was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated the collapse of this army and this government in 11 days. Now, that would mean the entire intelligence community, everybody in the NSA, the 17 intelligence agencies, everybody in the State Department, that there was not a single dissenting voice that said, hey, maybe your assessment here isn't exactly spot on. And the person who sort of gave the game away was Lara Logan when she said, the NSA is the crown jewel of intelligence. There's not a thing that goes on in the world that they don't know about. And, there's not a satellite that the U.S. can't commandeer to see exactly what's going on in terms of troop movement in real time. So the idea that these guys couldn't have possibly foreseen what was going on sort of strains credulity at the very least, if they're not outright lying at worst.
And not to say that you can't make a case, because you are making the case, but I always see this as, the one thing that will change it all is going back and forth and having a debate about these issues where people start getting more involved in their systems that have been corrupted, mainly schools. And that's what you point to. That's where you say things have started and where it needs to stop and where the fight should be had.
Well, I think the Republicans have what might amount to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to change the thing. I think every state where they have a Republican-controlled legislature, any time a teachers' union contract expires, they should not renew it and announce they are going to hire teachers on a case-by-case meritocratic basis. The Democrats and the teachers' unions have controlled schools. I mean, Democrats have been given at least 94% of all campaign contribution by the two largest teachers' unions since Open Secrets, a website that details campaign contributions, began keeping records back in 1990.
Now, Arnold Allart, I appreciate it. And like always, I forget the time because I love talking with you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
you.
You too. Crane Durham sitting in for Larry Connors. Tom Brady, does he have the answers? We'll find out.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.